Next on Making Sense of the Madness, we have a Veterans Day special with the founder of Forever Young Veterans. We're going to honor our veterans through their remarkable stories right now.
Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I say your name.
I
do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
Support and defend.
Support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
And to bear true faith.
And bear true faith.
And allegiance to the same.
And allegiance to the same.
That I will obey.
That I will obey.
The orders of.
The orders of.
The President of the United States.
The President of the United States.
And the orders of.
And the orders of.
Those officers,
appointed over me,
according to regulations, and the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So help me God.
We celebrate Veterans Day on the anniversary of the armistice that ended World War I. The armistice that began on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. The timing of this holiday is quite deliberate in terms of historical fact. But somehow it always seems quite fitting to me that this day comes deep in autumn when the colors are muted and the days seem to invite contemplation. It is, in a way, an odd thing to honor those who died in defense of our country, in defense of us, in wars far away. The imagination plays a trick. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise, but most of them were boys when they died, and they gave up two lives, the one they were living and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for our country, for us. And all we can do is remember. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. In memory of those who gave the last full measure of devotion, may our efforts to achieve lasting peace gain strength. Let us make a vow to our dead. Let us show them by our actions that we understand what they died for. Strengthened by their courage, heartened by their value, and borne by their memory, let us continue to stand for the ideals for which they lived and died.
In the long history of the world, only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its hour of maximum danger. I do not shrink from this responsibility. I welcome it. I do not believe that any of us would exchange places with any other people or any other generation. The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Wow, that was a tearjerker. We are going to get right into our Veterans Day special as soon as we get back.
Government-induced inflation, taxes, rising interest rates, political instability. All of these can have a crushing effect on our investments, often causing the stock market to go down. But they can also cause gold and silver to go up.
Hi, this is Dr. Kirk Elliott. Buy gold, buy silver, buy now, but buyer beware. Precious metals companies are not created equal. As a PhD economist, I have been in the financial, economic, and precious metals business for 3 decades. The philosophy of my firm is people over profit. I encourage you to read my bio to learn more about me at KirkElliottPhD.com.
Now is the time to own physical metals in an IRA, 401k, and outside of a retirement plan. Don't let the government destroy your hard-earned assets any longer. Call 720-605-3900 or visit KirkElliottPhD.com.
Well, Diane Haidt is the founder of Forever Young Veterans. Diane, thank you so much for joining us. Let's start by, you know, tell me what Veterans Day means to you and how you got involved in honoring our veterans.
Well, Veterans Day means a lot to me because my father was a World War II and Korean War veteran. And there's just been so much sacrifice from our veterans. And this just gives us an opportunity to just thank them for everything they've done for our country. I started Forever Young Veterans in 2006. My father came back from World War II an alcoholic, and I watched him suffer so much. And not only did he suffer, but our family suffered as well. And I don't think he realized, I don't know if he did or not, that his struggles were from the war. And I remember looking at him as a little child and thinking, what is wrong with you? I knew something was wrong. And so he was suffering silently. And I didn't realize it until I started Forever Young Veterans that so many of the veterans, they're suffering silently, just like my dad. So that's kind of how it all began.
Wow. So, you know, this is a very familiar story. As I saw in the video before, it's 21 million living veterans. Mm-hmm. So this is, you know, someone in everyone's family, you know, has a veteran there. And we're familiar with how veterans' lives impact our lives and our families. Certainly, your story reminded me of my own family. And so, you know, this is a time to reflect on that, the sacrifice and the hardship that's involved. But, you know, many living veterans who still are suffering still need closure. Tell us about how your organization helps them with that.
Well, I didn't expect for it to turn out like this, actually. When I started it, I just wanted to grant some simple wishes for World War II veterans. That's how it started. I thought, you know, I can reunite them with a comrade or get a medal that they never received. I had no idea that it was going to take the turn that it did. But when I realized that these men, these World War II veterans that we were honoring, they were going through exactly what my dad was going through. And I realized at that point that they needed a lot of healing in their lives. Because when you see these veterans around, you do not realize the burden that they're carrying inside. And so that's really when we changed our mission to Honor, Healing, and Hope, because we wanted to not only help bring healing into their lives, but also for their families, because we had experienced that in my family.
Well, tell me about some stories of some wishes. We're familiar with Make-A-Wish Foundation, where a child with a terminal disease can make a wish and someone can grant it, a lot of times going to Disney World or something like that. What are some of the wishes that veterans have, and how does that give them closure at times?
Well, we have so many. Some of them are so special. One was Jesse Davis. He was a paratrooper in World War II. And he was with 101st Airborne. He got wounded at the Battle of the Bulge, and he went to a hospital in a castle, and they took his duffel bag, and he never got it back. And when he left, he was really upset. I remember he said to me, "I was more upset about losing my duffel bag than I was about being wounded." Now, about 67 years later, he gets a call from a man in Belgium who said he had found his duffel bag in this castle, and he would love to return it to him, but he had to come to Belgium to get it. He wasn't going to mail it to him. And so Jesse ended up going back with us for the 70th anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge, and we got special permission for him to go to this castle again, and this Belgian man brought the duffel bag and presented it to him. So that was a special one. Another one is a vet that was a POW that got captured in Luxembourg. And he went to this home, well, you know, several of them, because they were fighting. They went to this home, and they went to the attic because they were trying to keep an eye on the Germans. And the family there went to the basement. And I asked him, I said, "Why did you pick this home?" He said, "It was the tallest home in the block." But the thing is, they ran out of ammunition and they did get captured. Well, he was returning with us to the 75th anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge. And he wanted to see this family again. Well, the children at the time, I think the oldest was 14 during the Battle of the Bulge. And now here they were in their late 80s and 90s. And so we were able to return him to this home. And they had such a wonderful time together because they were able to share stories and talk about what happened that day. And that was really life changing for him. But Sean, one that you may have heard about was KT Robbins. He was going back with us for the 75th anniversary of Normandy. And he asked me if he could find this family that had befriended him. Now, he was in this village for 3 months. He was actually baking bread. So he was behind the lines, and that's why he was there for so long. And he said, "This family was so good to me, I'd like to find them." Then he brings out this picture of this sexy girl. And I said, "KT, I wasn't born yesterday. I know you're interested in finding this lady again." And he said, "Oh, she's no longer here. I just know. But I'd like to see if I could find her younger brothers and sisters." So I was working with a news reporter in Paris, and they found this lady in one phone call. And so after we did the celebration of Normandy, we didn't tell him we had found her. He just thought he was going to the town to look around and maybe see if they could find, he could find the family. But as it turned out, we told him we'd found her and that he was going to be reunited. Now, as you know, a lot of the World War II veterans, they're kind of reserved. Oh, no, not KT. Let me tell you, they started up where they left off because they were kissing and they truly loved each other. And she said to him, "Why did you wait so long?" Because he was like 98 years old. She was 92. And they were so happy to be together again.
Wow, an amazing story. And I did get to see some of the videos. Let's play for everyone. That's video number two. And okay. Number three have that story. So our producer will pull that up for us.
Bless your heart.
Army Air Corps vet Jep Williamson.
He wept at the grave of a brother he lost three quarters of a century ago in Italy during World War II. He made the trip just before he died. Earl Pritchard wept at the USS Missouri, where he served that fateful day in Pearl Harbor, also just before he died. And friends comforted Marine Mike Miller as he wept among the names of the Vietnam War Memorial in Washington, just before he died. Each of these veterans experienced a dream come true and found peace and closure that had been missing from their lives, nearly all of their lives.
It cost them nothing, all expenses paid, thanks to the generous donations folks like you made to Forever Young Veterans.
Since 2006, Forever Young Veterans has honored more than 2,000 World War II, Korea, and Vietnam War veterans with more than 40 trips of honor. Forever Young Veterans has also granted veterans more than 300 individual wishes. For some of them, their last wishes. Now we are asking you to grant what may be ours.
The pandemic abruptly postponed Forever Young Veterans' latest trips of honor and virtually destroyed its fundraising. Social distancing, veterans in at-risk age categories, quite frankly, it's been a nightmare.
Oh. Yes. Mm.
I thought about it a lot of times. I'd like to go back, but I didn't think I'd ever get to go back to see Tornia again. But here I am. But you go. Which is great. Wonderful.
Show me some of your pictures, okay?
I'm going to show you some of my pictures.
I told him all about us going to Normandy for the 75th anniversary, and I did mention us going back to Belgium, too. He smiled from ear to ear the whole time, and he also had tears running down his cheek.
I thought I was going to jump out of my chair. You go to France. France. I said, man, no. How am I going to France? Then she told me.
These are the greatest men that have ever lived. My father and uncles were in World War II in Korea. I know how special they are. I value them so much. And I was never able to honor my dad or my uncles because they were gone when I started Forever Young. So I do this for them. And just being with these men, in a way, I'm with them. And it's just so special to give back. And really, that's why I started Forever Young, because I felt like our country really had not given to them the way they should have. And they just deserve so much more honor. For the very first time in 75 years.
That's great.
You know, that is a...
That's great.
That's fantastic. Such a historical event.
It is a historical event.
I mean, the 75th...
And take a country boy like me, raised in Union County, Mississippi, where there was nothing, really. And look where we are today.
It's a story about two people who have never forgotten each other. Two people who fell in love during the war and who were then separated by an ocean. In 1944, Katie Robbins, a young American soldier, fell in love with a French woman, Jeanine Guenet, 18 years old. The setting, a small town in eastern France where the U.S. troops had set camp.
She's just a sweet girl. She is sweet as you mean. I think she loved me.
But 2 months later, one morning, Katie left the town abruptly to join the Eastern Front.
I said, maybe I'll come back and see you sometime. Who knows? What happened, but it didn't happen.
Back in the U.S., after the war, Katie Robbins got married. The story of a reunion with his first love begins a few weeks ago, when a reporter met him for an interview about D-Day veterans. Among his photo albums, he shows us the picture of his French lady.
What's her name?
Janet. The name is Janet Guenet.
You remember her?
I remember her well.
Katie Robbins tells us about his special wish.
I'd like to go and see if I can find the family. For sure, I won't ever get to see her. She's probably gone now.
One photo, a name, and a town. From the United States, we call in France and we find Janine. In the train to meet her, we tell Katie Robbins that his first love is alive.
She's alive.
No kidding. No kidding.
And we're gonna meet her.
We're gonna meet her.
Yes. She's alive.
No,
and she's waiting for you.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Joe, can you believe it? Janine, can I?
A few steps in the hallway.
Oh, okay.
And finally, they meet again.
Oh, wonderful time to see you, girl.
How are you?
You bring tears to my eyes. Lord, have mercy.
Janine Ganet is 92. She lives in this retirement residence. Sitting close together, they talk again about love.
I always loved you. I always loved you. You never got out of my heart.
Il dit qu'il m'aime.
He said he loves me. That I understood. I have always thought about him too. I was wondering, where is he? Will he come back? I always wondered.
She remembers exactly the day he left.
When he left in the truck, I cried, of course. I was very sad. I hoped that after the war, he would not go back to the US.
He shows her the picture he kept.
I'm going to show you something. Oui. You, this is you. This is you.
It's hard to believe it's me. I was so modern for my time. Nowadays, women dress like that. But in my day, they didn't dare. I did.
Janine Ganet raised 5 kids. Her daughter is here.
C'est une petite histoire.
It's a small story in the big history.
Janine wants to ask something.
Pourquoi il est resté si longtemps?
Why did he wait for so long? I would have loved him to come sooner.
Why didn't you come back?
And when we ask Katie Robbins,
well, when you get married, then you just didn't do it at all.
After the war, hoping that the soldier would come back, Janine had started learning English. It's time to say goodbye. Katie Robbins is going back to Normandy.
Janine, I love you, girl.
Long minutes of tenderness, infused with tears.
That's a good decision.
After these few hours together,
see you soon.
You made me cry.
They promise each other to meet again.
Moi, je pense.
These two souls have kept an emotion alive that was born 75 years ago.
Bon voyage.
Thank you. Bon.
Amérique.
Hello. Good.
Back.
Wow, that is an amazing story, Diane. And, you know, it's just great that you've been able to make dreams like this happen through your organization. I want to get your feedback and your response to that as soon as we get back.
Inflation is out of control. The price of gasoline has doubled in a very short time, and interest rates are set to rise. How do you protect and grow your portfolio to make sure that you do not outlive your assets? Invest in annuities that have rate lock. Rate lock is an innovative new feature that allows you to lock in your rate of return at any time during the year to lock in these volatile upswings of the market. And unlike CDs and money market accounts, they accumulate tax deferred and can participate in the upside of market indexes. And they're probate free, and they can provide an income that you can't outlive. With all the different companies, features, indexes, and benefits which annuities offer, it can be confusing to choose which annuity is best for your unique situation. Let a company you can trust help you select a rate lock annuity that's right for you. Add an annuity to your retirement portfolio and start enjoying the many benefits that smart investors love. Call the Cleveland Insurance Group at 844-USA-2024. That's the Cleveland Insurance Group at 844-USA-2024. The Cleveland Insurance Group, 844-USA-2024.
We're talking to Diane Hite, the founder of Forever Young Veterans. So, Diane, tell me what that story means to you for you to be able to play a role in making that happen.
That was the most incredible wish ever because it went all over the world. Even Prince Harry wrote about it in Celebrity. So it thrilled KT. It really did. But I never thought that when I started this, that we would be able to grant wishes like this. It just blows my mind, really. But I have to say that if you want to have faith in God, you've got to start a nonprofit because so much of the time I find myself having to pray to grant these wishes. And what a miracle that we were able to find her. Just one phone call.
Yes, unbelievable. Well, tell me about how elderly veterans have been impacted by the pandemic. I know your organization has been involved with that.
It's been so hard on them. Actually, we've only lost a couple of veterans because of COVID. I think we've lost more just out of the isolation, and they are so social and they love being with people. And I think just being alone, because a lot of our veterans here do live alone. And so it was so hard on them. But we did make a lot of phone calls and tried to check up on them often. But it did take its toll and we did lose quite a few.
And you had a letter writing campaign. I saw that of people can volunteer for your organization. They do visits. And during that time, they weren't allowed to visit. They were writing letters. Is that right?
Yes, we were trying everything possible to encourage them. That's why we had asked people on Facebook to write letters, send them to our organization, and then we mail them to the veterans. They love getting mail so much. So that was something that did encourage them a lot. And we did some parades where we could do the social distancing. They enjoyed that immensely. They would stand at their door and we would have parades of people, bagpipers, the fire trucks. We did everything possible just to make their day.
Well, speaking of ceremony, I noticed that that's something that you do on these visits to various military locations, cemeteries and battle locations. Play taps, play the bagpipes, give an award. Tell me what that means to these vets.
Well, a lot of people, if they don't know much about our organization, they think we're taking these vets on vacations. And it is the opposite of that. Really, they are going back to make peace with their friends, their comrades that did not come home. And so that is a very important part of the reason why we're going back. And that's why when we go to the national cemeteries over there, just like you saw with Jeff Williamson, you know, that was not planned. He got down on his knees on his own, and you could see the emotion and how raw it still is in his heart. And they want their comrades who did not come back to know that they have not forgotten them and they will carry them with them forever.
That's a nice footage there of the veterans singing a patriotic song together. That really brings people together, doesn't it? I mean, the camaraderie with other veterans means a lot. I know my grandfather is a World War II vet. And he was every day at the VFW. That's how he dealt, you know, with all of the baggage related to that, is to be able to talk to his comrades about it every day at the VFW. So tell me about that aspect of the work, the bringing the different vets together.
They get such strength from being with one another. They don't even have to say a word, and they draw strength just by sitting together. It is such a beautiful thing to just see how going back as a group it just ministers to each one of them, because if they went alone, it would not be the same. And I received an email from a lady when we went back to Belgium for the very first time. And she said, I took my father back and it was the worst thing I ever did for him. And I said to her, I said, well, that is the problem of him going alone. He had no one to talk to, and they will not talk to their children because they don't want to bring any hurt upon their family. And so when you take a group, they will share with one another and they will talk. I have had so many of the veterans say on these trips, I've heard this a million times, I have never told anyone this before, but that's what happens when they are together. They will share things, and it gives a perspective, because as you know, Sean, when we have troubles in this world, don't we think we're the only one? And when we go on a trip, they will say to each other, you know, I thought I was the only one feeling that way. And you feel that way too. And that is healing in itself, when they realize that they've suffered all these years, and a lot of them daily, and they weren't the only ones.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, what are the different obstacles to these vets going on these big trips that maybe they've always wanted to go on? Maybe economic hardship and limitation, maybe, you know, just the difficulty in doing international travel. It's not everyone's up for it without support. Can you talk about that?
Well, I tell you, taking them back is something they never thought would happen to them personally. They do want to go back. And just as you saw KT's reaction, you know, he's going, I'm going to France. They all really deep down want to go, but they never thought it was possible. And this is interesting too, Sean, because when we take them back, often you can see a nervousness almost in them. And I think that in their minds, they think that they are going back into World War II because that's how they remember it. But then we get there and they see this beautiful restored land and they see grateful people, and it's so healing to them, and they're not expecting it. When we're in France or we're in Belgium, oh, they'll hear from the locals. The locals are just so amazing. You'll hear them hollering out to our veterans as we travel around. They'll be going, our dear liberators, our dear liberators. They're so grateful for their freedom. So when we return home, they have a skip in their step that they did not have before, because I think they realize, even no matter how small it is, what they did mattered. And it nice. Really, truly makes a difference in their lives.
Oh, absolutely. Just to actually feel the impact through that relational connection.
Yeah.
What about the other types of trips you do? It's not always World War II vets going to Europe. It's going to different memorials and so forth. Tell me about the other types of trips.
Well, we do honor World War II Korean Vietnam veterans. The reason we've been to Normandy 9 times and Belgium 9 times and Italy and England, that's because when we first started, they were the oldest group and we were honoring them. But we also are honoring our Korea and our Vietnam veterans. We do take all of them to Hawaii and Pearl Harbor, because Hawaii was important to all three wars. Because our Korea and our Vietnam vets, they stopped there going to war, coming back. And it is a military trip, and they just absolutely love it. Now, we just got back from Washington, D.C. We spend 5 days when we go to D.C. because our mission is about healing. And so when we go, we just watch how much this means to our Vietnam veterans, because you think it's going to be different for them, because this was our very first trip that we had in September where we did not have a World War II veteran. So it was almost all combat Vietnam veterans. I have such a heart for them, and I love working with them because they're very open you know, our World War II veterans and our Korea vets are a little bit more reserved, where our Vietnam vets, they are more likely to share and open up. And we just had such a wonderful time there. I want to tell you about what one of the wives told me after we got back from our DC trip. She said, my husband has PTSD so badly. And she said, he has had a lock on his heart since he got back from Vietnam. And she said, that trip was the key that opened his heart and love came pouring in, and he's changed. So it has been really a blessing for us to work with the Vietnam vets. They're just amazing, and they deserve to be honored so much after what they went through.
Yeah, I'm realizing now just how much healing is involved here.
Yes.
And we can't let our veterans out to dry once they've served and just expect them to heal themselves. This sounds like it's something that perhaps should be included in veterans benefits. I'd like to find out who donates and who supports. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, tell me how this whole organization works.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read The Difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
We're talking to Diane Height, the founder of Forever Young Veterans. So, Diane, I'm realizing how therapeutic this process is for our vets. And, you know, it just seems like it should be part of the process of supporting our veterans in our community. So who are the types of people who end up donating the funds necessary to make these dreams come true?
Well, I would say most people that donate are children of our World War II veterans or our other veterans as well, because they know their value and they love their dads and their moms so much, and they just want to make sure that this continues. We do have a lot of fundraisers. Like, we do have a gala every August where we bring in most of our money for our trips of honor. And then we do some smaller things. We do have a book that is coming out, which we did during the pandemic. Mike Ware, who wrote many of the stories, he came to me and he said, no, nothing's going on. Why don't we get this writer's group to write their stories and let's do a book. And so it just came out, and we're so proud of it, because it's very important for people to know their stories and the sacrifices. We're just so free to be able to do what we want. And I mean, if nothing else, we should read their stories and just be grateful for everything that we have.
That's wonderful. Where can people access the book? Different bookstores?
It's on Amazon. Or you can go to foreveryoungvets.org/book.
And what are some of the ways that people can get involved besides donating funds? How can they volunteer? How can they support your work?
Well, we are always looking for veterans to honor. So, I mean, we can't be everywhere. We're in the Memphis area. And so we have volunteers in Pennsylvania and Massachusetts and Florida and Texas, and so we are just asking, help us find veterans that can go on our trips of honor, because a lot of people don't know about us. And so that has really been special. But we also need volunteers to go on our trips, because whenever we go, we need people to just sit and listen to them, or to help them off the bus or take their luggage to their room. So there's a lot of things that people can do if they want to give back.
That's wonderful. You have produced some nice videos that you've shared on your social media. We're going to continue showing people these videos so they understand the stories even more. Let's play some now.
Bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night.
Rowell, I stormed Normandy Beach on D-Day, June 6, 1944. I was scared to death for one thing. I don't think any man that says that he wasn't would be telling us a story about it, because we didn't really know whether we were going to make that beach safely or be pushed back out into the water. Machine gun fire. We could see where it was coming from, but it was hard for us with just rifles to try to knock those machine guns out. It'd take a little bit more than that. And I seen so many men falling around me from that machine gun fire. And it was really frightening. And I never seen so much devastation in my life of human bodies. The channel, English Channel, is a beautiful blue body of water, but it was totally red, blood red that day. And I actually had to take my legs and push the bodies aside to keep moving forward. And I heard the cries of the men that hadn't died yet, saying, "Mama, I need you, Mama." That's really touching when you hear that. I'll never forget that. I fought all the way from the beaches of France to Bastogne at the Battle of the Bulge, and I never had two and a half years of combat. I never had a mattress to sleep, put my body on. I never had a pillow to go under my head. And that's the kind of life you live. You just live out in the wild open, just like a wild animal living out there. I think about these things, and I say, shed many a tear when I'm alone by myself. I can't get over this. I'll never get over it. It'll be in my mind till the day I close my eyes. And I still love this country. And I would die for it if I had to.
My name is Bob Arata. I was with the 9th Regiment, 3rd Marine Division, which landed on Iwo Jima. Our division was in reserve, but it got so bad that they pulled us in, landed 5 days after the initial landing. There was no vegetation there. There's nothing to hide behind. When you got up to move, you were just a sitting duck, really, because they're all underground. You hardly ever saw them. They'd pop up one time here, and they'd pop up somewhere else later on. So it was the worst, islands that we were on. Just seemed like every time somebody fired, somebody fell. You saw people dying all over the place, whether it was us or them. Everywhere you looked, you saw bodies mutilated. Japanese wouldn't give up, In Europe, you had prisoners that gave up. But in the Pacific, it was just, you had to kill them all. You don't want to be captured, because you're dead if you're captured. So they're not going to take you as a prisoner. don't know, it's just a bad situation altogether. The other two islands, you know, you remember them, but evil would be in your mind forever, really.
My name is Olin Pickens, and I was captured in North Africa by the Germans on February the 16th, 1943. No words you could explain what the war was like unless you was in it. And hear the bullets going by your head and feel the explosions and feel the vibration of the explosions. We was shooting at them and they was shooting at us, and we wasn't gaining any land. We was just losing men and they was losing. And so then Captain Hunsinger called us together and said that the headquarters had called down and said that we had to go through a suicide mission to get General Rommel's 7th Panzer Division to come through us so that General Anderson, General Montgomery could come around behind them and cut their supplies off, and said it would be like a suicide mission. Tomorrow, when the battle is over, you'll either be killed or captured. The second day or so, the boy right in front of me just fell flat on his face, and I reached down to pick him up and called him and said, if you don't get up, they'll shoot you. And he was out. He was completely out. So the German pointed his gun at me and motioned me to go on. And that is one of the things that still bothers me today. I had to turn him loose, knowing that he would die when I left. When I got caught, I weighed 195 pounds, all muscle. And then I weighed again, I weighed 120. But long ways off, I could see that big Statue of Liberty. And all of us are so happy to see it. And you know that Statue of Liberty talked to each one of us? Whatever it said to me, that's what it said. Whatever it said to the other fella, that's what it said. So each one of us had something that it said to us. Mine said, welcome home, son. Job well done. As bad as it was, I would do it again for our freedom.
We are talking to Diane Height, the founder of Forever Young Veterans. Diane, any response to what you were just watching? I know it's emotional every time, but any stories that came up or anything you want to share at all?
Well, I can hardly talk after that because it just hits my heart so much. I just love these veterans. I do want to say something about our Vietnam veterans. Excuse me. When we take them back, you know, not all of our wishes are these huge wishes that are granted. What we are seeing with our Vietnam veterans, they will contact me after the trip, so many of them, and they will say, you know, I would never wear a Vietnam hat. I was ashamed of being a Vietnam vet, and it's not like that anymore. Since going on the trip, I wear my hat everywhere I go. I wear my jacket. We have jackets made for our veterans that go on our trip because they get a lot of attention and it helps honor them. And so when I find out that they're wearing these jackets when they go back, because it'll have their unit patch or, you know, it looks very military. You probably saw it in the videos. So the fact that they are wearing their hats, that they are proud to be a Vietnam veteran now, I mean, what a wonderful wish that is of being granted. And that means so much to me. One quick story. We took a caisson Marine to the wall. And when you take the Vietnam veterans to the wall, it can be very emotional for them and kind of unnerving. And so he had like 8 friends on the wall. And he said, I just want to walk the length of the wall and kind of settle down. And then I'll do the charcoal rubbings of their names. And he and another Marine started walking. And one of our volunteers just stopped them and said, I want to take your photo. Now, he had a friend that was very close to him. He considered him a best friend. And he would text me throughout the years and say, today is Gary's birthday, or today is the day that Gary died. So he was always thinking about it. So anyway, our volunteer sent him the photo and she sent it to me. He enlarged it. And he was so shocked because Gary's name was right above his left shoulder. I mean, that is just a miracle of God. And he just couldn't believe it. You know, there are more than 58,000 names on the Vietnam Wall, and Gary's name was right there.
This isn't the first miracle that's occurred on your trips. It's
no.
I think God's watching over all of these to make sure that people get the healing energy that they need. It's beautiful. And I liked how our producer showed the wall pictures while you were describing the story. It's just, we can just picture it. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to continue our Veterans Day special. Mm-hmm.
Spreading lies before God's eyes, you've called yourselves the New World Order. Well, time is not your friend. For you, it is the end. And a secret voice calls out across the wind, America forever shall be free.
We're talking to Diane Height, the founder of Forever Young Veterans. Diane, you have so many stories to tell. I'm really interested in the ones that involve miracles, coincidences, anything else you want to share about how much these trips of honor mean to our vets?
Well, it means everything to them. I have one vet that said to me, I had almost forgotten I was a veteran until I went on this trip of honor. And because we are going for so long, for instance, when we go to Pearl Harbor, we're there for a week. We go to Washington, D.C., we're there for 5 days. So healing takes time. And we're not trying to get them to talk or anything like that. We just honor them from the minute we get there till the minute we leave. And that was what so many of them have said. The honor never stops. And I think the more they're honored, the more the walls start to fall down. And when these walls fall down, then they are able to receive healing. And it's just been so much fun to watch this happen. And we do take an Army psychologist. He is retired, but he worked with PTSD active duty. And so he is there with us. We're not trying to get anyone to talk. He is just there if they need it. And I've learned so much about PTSD from him. For instance, my dad never talked about it. He just held it in. And he was in the Coast Guard. So a lot of people might say, well, how could he have PTSD? He was in the Coast Guard. I mean, you can understand a paratrooper or an infantryman, but I have learned that we cannot judge who has PTSD and who does not. That is one of the things that this psychologist said to me that really made an impact on my life. He said the worst case of PTSD he ever saw, the veteran, well, he wasn't a veteran. He was active duty. He was not in combat. And well, how could that be? How's that even possible? He worked in the morgue in Vietnam. So we can never judge. We have no idea what these men and women have been through. And we just need to honor them and love them.
Yeah, you said that when you go on these trips, you honor them from the moment it starts to the moment it ends. And I saw you make these beautiful jackets with their unit numbers. That's a form of honoring them, especially when people see the jacket and they recognize them and they thank them for their service. What are some other little ways that you guys honor? And can maybe tell me a little bit more about how honoring them actually opens them, opens their hearts up to share more?
Well, first of all, we make the hats for them and we have them embroidered on the sides because we want people to know a little bit about them. I mean, if you just see a vet with a hat on and it says Vietnam, it doesn't tell very much. But if it says POW on the side, then people are like, hey, I want to talk to you. And oh, they want to hug them and kiss them and thank them for everything they've done for our country. So that's one of the things that we do. Another thing, as you mentioned, the jackets. It tells so much about them when they see them. Oh, I've got a story from one of our veterans when we were in Normandy for the 75th. He was with the 28th Infantry Division. He had the bloody bucket patch on. And it's a small world when they have on their unit patches, believe me. He was sitting at Utah Beach in a wheelchair and had just tons of students around him. And the man that was telling me this story, he said, I walked up and he said, it was like the parting of the Red Sea. He said, it just parted. And I went right up to him and he said, I saw that bloody bucket patch. And I was like, oh my goodness, my dad was in the 28th. And so he said, my dad was in the 28th, and they began to talk. And he said, my dad was a POW and he was a POW. And he said, well, what is his name? They got captured together. They were friends. They got captured together in Luxembourg. I mean, what are the chances of that happening? So that is another thing of having the hats, having the jackets. We also have family members write letters to them. They get letters from all kinds of people, their barber, their neighbor, their pastor. So kind of like an old-fashioned mail call. And that means everything to them because people don't write letters anymore. So the family is very instrumental.
So many different ways of honoring, you know, and I think it's beautiful the way you guys do it. You've actually got it down to a science, and you guys are rewarded by the angels giving you these coincidences along the way. Thank you so much, Diane, for sharing these beautiful stories. We're going to put a link in the description below so people can support your organization and our wonderful vets. And thank you for watching AmericanMediaPeriscope.com. We are America's patriot-only network. God bless all you patriots. Good night and good luck.
Where we go one?